141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Please gamble responsibly.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Scotland are still looking for a new manager. There's uncertainty about where our footballing home will be, and now we're looking for a new chief executive as Stuart Regan stands down today. Elsewhere, Craig Levine says players need more protection from Scott Brown. As you would expect, Brendan Rodgers has hit back, questioning why 16-year-old Harry Cochrane was picked in the first place. Alfredo Morelos is confused by the China speculation, according to Graham Murty. That's as Rangers get past Fraserburgh in the Scottish Cup. And of course, a look back at the business done on transfer deadline day. So much to get through this evening, but we want you to join us. It's 0141 951 1025. I'm Gordon Duncan, and here on a Thursday night, as always, Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson. Are we both well?
Brilliant. Yep. Looking forward to tonight's show.
Good stuff. I'm glad you kept that so brief there. That was a nice summation of how you were feeling. Thank you very much. 0141 951 1025. Have your say on any of today's big topics. We're going to start with Stuart Regan. Breaking news this afternoon that the Scottish FA's chief executive has decided to step down from the role after 8 years in the job. Now, the announcement came on the day of a scheduled Scottish FA board meeting to discuss the search for a new Scotland manager. Remember, it's been about 10 days or so since Northern Ireland boss Michael O'Neill rejected an offer to take the role. So some, of course, may see that as being the final straw, if you will. Stuart Regan said in a statement, "While it has been tough, I'm proud to leave, having overseen a period of significant change and substantial growth following the McLeish report in 2010. We are now at another staging point, and I recognise that it is now time for further change." So what do we think of Stuart Regan's reign, and where do we go from here? Let us know on the phones. I'm going to bring in Roger Hanna on this. These guys don't get nights off. We always like to do some overtime, Roger, to provide a bit of a journalistic touch to this one. Roger, how are you?
I'm good, Gordon, thanks. How are you?
Not too bad at all, Roger. Given that you will have looked closely at Stuart Regan's reign all across his 8 years or so in charge, kick us off by telling us your sort of reaction when you saw that statement drop into your inbox this afternoon.
Well, you touched on the SFA board meeting. Only the SFA could hold a meeting to discuss the absence of one key member of personnel and end the meeting with the absence of two key members of personnel. Stuart Regan has gone after 8 years. He was the man who was paid to make the big decisions at the SFA, and he's paid the price for getting too many of the big decisions wrong in recent times, Gordon. I said at the time Gordon Strachan was sacked by him in October, it was the wrong decision. But listen, I said they could go on and try and make things better. I thought he called it wrong with his treatment of Malky Mackay on the pitch at Pittodrie in November, when before the man had the chance to take caretaker charge of his nation, he told him he wasn't in the running to get a big job. It emerged at that point that he wanted Michael O'Neill. Fair enough, Michael O'Neill had a decent track record, but he put all of his eggs in the one basket with Michael O'Neill and ended up with egg on his face, Gordon, because he didn't get him and was then left chasing shadows. We're no closer to the appointment of a Scotland manager than we've ever been. And you look back and he's really listed his achievements today when he left, but, you know, there was no qualification during his reign. We now have no manager. When Vauxhall leave at the end of the season, the SFA has no main sponsor. And that's important, Gordon, at a time when the Tartan Army renewals at £55 a head are due for renewal, and people aren't falling over themselves to renew with that as well. And we don't even have a confirmed home for Scottish football beyond 2020, when the lease expires at Hampden. They narrowed it down. They rolled out Celtic Park and Ibrox this week, narrowed it down to Hampden and Murrayfield. But which one? And if we go to Murrayfield, how much will it cost? If we stay at Hampden, how much will that cost? And, you know, Stuart Regan, people will say he brought the association into disrepute. I think that's a bit much, but latterly, it wasn't enhancing the reputation of the SFA and the Blazers within the SFA. They don't like it when the scrutiny's turned on them. And I think it's only a suspicion, but I think they would be leaning heavily on Stuart Regan to go today to deflect criticism from them.
Now, being in that position, Roger, you ultimately have to take responsibility for all of these things that you mentioned. I wonder how much of an uphill battle it has been for Stuart Regan, though, given that, as we all know, the Scottish FA is a members' organisation. He has a board and he's the chief executive, so he's the one that's there to be shot at. That's not me saying he did a particularly good job, but in that respect, it's easy to see why so much flack was directed at him when it maybe not always was justified. Can you at least see that side of the argument?
Well, listen, when you look at a football manager, and there's Rodden Dale and Mark Wilson on the show tonight, two guys who have worked in football management. Football managers, the success or failure of their reign, it's quite easy to gauge. It's gauged by results in football matches. How do you define the success or failure of a chief executive of a football association? Well, I would tend to think it's defined by the national team appointing the right manager who takes us to the finals, who, you know, appointing youth team leaders who take us to finals and do well and bring more players through. The people counting the coins in Hampden will say it's defined by bringing on board major big spending corporate backers, and it's about, you know, developing the game and, you know, developing football for all. And by all, I mean the supporters as well. You heard the supporters phoning in on the show on Tuesday night when, you know, the news it was either Hampden or Murrayfield. There were so many complaints about Hampden. So many complaints about, you know, the way Hampden has been allowed to wither in the vine in recent years. And that's all on Stuart Regan's watch, if you like, Gordon. So, yes, if you look at the achievements he's listed in his own valedictory address this afternoon, he has done some good things for Scottish football, but I think people will remember him as a man who left, and the day he left with no manager, no main backer on the horizon, no home for Scottish football beyond the end of this lease in a couple of years' time, and crucially, no major finals, no World Cups or no European Championships on his watch.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel, does it seem like the managerial search has been the final straw, so to speak?
Yeah, I think so, Gordon. I think that Roger touched on a great point there about putting all your eggs into the one basket, and that's it, because he's not even, there was no game plan after that, and I think that's what really, I think that's what broke the camel's back, to be honest with you. And I think that Stuart Regan, I've nothing against the man, I've met him, he's a very, very nice man, tried his best. After 8 years, sometimes it just needs a bit of freshness. Now, what do we do? New chief exec comes in with new ideas, new manager comes in. So it may be, the timing may be right. I know that everybody will look upon it. Roger was talking there about, you know, sponsorship and where have we got to play our football? Is it Hampden, Murrayfield, the debate? We've got a manager, we've no chief. Well, we're starting from scratch again, really. So at least I think it's forwards now, and it'll be really interesting to see who takes up that post.
Roger, I'll keep you on the line if you don't mind. Let's bring in Gary in Bayliston on this one. Hi, Gary.
Hi, boys. How you doing? All right?
Not too bad, Gary. What's your thoughts on all of this then?
Today, Stuart Regan, right? First of all, who was Stuart Regan when he got this job? That's what I want to know. Who was he? Never heard of him in my life.
He was involved in cricket south of the border, right, at Yorkshire, yep.
That tells you something, no? I mean, but we need somebody in this job that loves Scotland. You've got Walter Smith, you've got Gordon Strang. Look at the great Scottish managers we've got. I went to the World Cup in 1982 with Scotland, and it was one of the greatest. Oh, I'll never forget it. No, I mean, what a great 2 weeks I had in Spain. It was brilliant. We never qualified, but the atmosphere with the Scots fans were unbelievable. And then they're talking about Hampden or Murrayfield. We should be staying at Hampden. You know what I mean? Hampden's, I presume, it was Scotland, Czechoslovakia to qualify for the World Cup. Over 100,000 there. What an atmosphere. This is just a start. And we should get all together and get that stadium up to scratch and just bring back the old days and bring back somebody who loves to be in charge of the SFA, somebody. You know what I mean? Just, I can't say for words. I'm lost for words, sorry.
No, I get your point, Gary. Roger, that's ultimately going to be the question, and it's very early days. Stuart Regan's probably not even cleared his desk yet, but we are going to have to look to the future. And you can see where Gary's coming from. People find comfort in a name that they've heard of, someone who knows Scottish football and all the rest of it. But at the same time, this is a chief executive of a national association. It's a business mind as well that we're looking for. So surely the net should be cast far and wide.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you, Gordon. And I understand the point Gary's making. But, you know, it's an easy thing to shout Walter Smith, Gordon Strachan. They're not chief executives. You know, if Peter Lawwell left Celtic tomorrow, they wouldn't give the job to Danny McGrain because he was a great Celtic player once. You know, if Stuart Robertson, the MD at Rangers, left tomorrow, they wouldn't give the job to John Gregg because he was once a great Rangers player. I think professional sport has moved on from there. I think the SFA will look for someone with a background in administration, a background in commerce, a background in marketing, someone who can bring money in but make the big decisions, decide on the National Stadium, where are we going to play football, and even more importantly than that, how are we going to fund it? If we stay at Hampden, who's paying for it? Can he get Nicola Sturgeon round a table with Glasgow City Council and all the stakeholders in Hampden and strike a deal that allows Scottish football to stay at Hampden or go to Murrayfield, but, you know, and pay for that? Those are the key decisions. We need someone who can draw together a group of people, a manager. We've got a performance director there in Malky Mackay, who I understand is doing a very good job. But, you know, beneath that, we need a football department capable of fulfilling Gary's ambitions of getting Scotland back to a major finals again. I don't think this is going to be as simple as just getting one man. I think this is an opportunity to restructure the SFA in a manner which will benefit Scottish football going forward.
Let's be honest, Roger, we all sort of knew the way this would play out. There's not a whole lot of love for Stuart Reagan on my Twitter feed at Clyde SSB at the moment, as I'm sure you can imagine. JJ Bird, you know, good riddance, that sort of thing. MB says Reagan's been pushed because it ended up a disaster for the game. All these types of comments coming in. We've mentioned some of the negative things that he had to oversee. If you were looking for positives from his reign, what sort of things would jump out at you? Perhaps the implementation of playoffs, the pyramid system, the SPFL creation, I don't know. It's a bit early to really praise or blame anyone for Project Brave, but, you know, the performance skills, that side of thing, is there anything there that you would praise him for during his time?
Listen, I think history will judge Stuart Reagan down the line whether the performance skills are a success. I quite like the pyramid system. I know financially he's left the SFA in a decent position. I think failure to qualify for these finals obviously has a negative impact on money coming in, but they're not down to their last 50 pence, Gordon. You know, he will have won a few small victories and will go back down over the border tonight looking back on a few of those small victories, but I think it's the big defeats that people remember. The failure to take Scotland back, to end that 20-year cycle of missing out on the big finals, and in recent times, the saga over the manager. Gordon Strachan sacked October, Malky Mackay told, you're not getting it in November, Michael O'Neill turning it down in January, and here we are on the 1st of February, and we've no idea who the next Scotland manager is going to be, and there's a couple of games next month.
If you look at some of the major scenarios that he's had to handle, Roger, the managerial search is the one that sticks certainly in the memory at the moment because it's the most recent. You go back even then to the start of his time, the referee strike, and then of course in the middle, the Rangers financial situation, which for a chief executive like Stuart Reagan actually led to him being blamed by both sides, really, because that was such a hot topic at the time and still is. So really, whether you are whatever side of the fence you're on in that debate, you tend to think that Stuart Reagan did something wrong. So in many ways, it's some people may say they're surprised that it lasted this long.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, Daz and Marco tell you, football managers tend to have a shelf life. Players at certain clubs tend to have a shelf life. And I think nowadays chief executives do as well. When Stuart Reagan came in, and I would bracket Neil Doncaster with that as well, when they come in, they've come from jobs down south, and you think these guys are only coming up to Scotland and they'll enhance their CV and they'll work here for 3 or 4 years and they'll go back down south. So for Stuart Reagan to have done 8 years, I find quite remarkable. I thought he would have been gone many moons ago. It'll be interesting to see what level of applicant comes for this job. Be interesting to see how the SFA go about filling the job. I think in the past they've used sort of, you know, City of London headhunters to go and source candidates for positions like this. Did he do that? Do they, as Gary the Caller suggests, did he take soundings from the football fraternity up here? I don't know, but a bit like the manager, I think they'll have to start looking very, very quickly, because there is fast developing a power vacuum at the very top of Hampden.
Okay, thanks to Roger Hanna. Thanks for joining us on the line, Roger. I will let you go and enjoy your evening.
Thanks very much, Colin.
That was Roger Hanna of the Scottish Sun on the phone. Lots of tweets coming in. Brian says, get the job description correct, then recruit the best man or woman for the job. Remove emotion from the selection. No idea what a football man is. And Blackburn Banter says, get down the M8 and get Anne Budge in place. Takes no prisoners. Proven track record in business. Ruthless. Someone to take the country forward. Alan's in Rutherglen. Hi, Alan.
Hello there.
What are your thoughts on this, Alan?
I've got a multitude of things.
Right, keep it brief then.
I'll keep it brief. First of all, Mr. Regan, there's guys in Ballinnie get 8 years, and he get 8 years in a job that he's well paid for. This guy should have been out the door years ago, mate.
Yeah, I did say, Alan, I wasn't expecting a great deal of sympathy or farewell wishes for Stuart Regan.
He's went from one calamity to the next. We've got a national stadium that's no fit for purpose. We're minus a manager. We've got other countries in the UK that's getting stadia built for them. We've got Millennium Stadium in Wales, lottery funded, and UK government wide. We've got Northern Ireland, got a brand new stadium, £150 million plus paid in it. Lottery grants and UK government aid as well. How are we not getting it?
Is that all Stuart Regan's fault, Alan? Because I've also seen, you know, people...
It's not his fault, but everything that's been going on, I know the stadium stuff is not really his fault, but everything that's been going on for the past couple of years has been Stuart Regan's fault. This calamity with Michael O'Neill for the manager, the guy was never going to take it in the first place. Who's going to come into a national setup like we've got to know? We need to clear it for the tap downwards. We need to get somebody with the stature of Alec Ferguson in there, when the chairman of the SFA and his right-hand man, like Souness, Dalglish, Walter Smith.
But Alan, these guys aren't businessmen. They were terrific in playing football and managing football teams. But the chief, you know, if you're criticising Stuart Regan for being unable to secure lottery funding or sponsorship for the national team or whatever it may be, then I'm sure those aren't going to be strengths of Alex Ferguson, are they?
We're sitting in there with guys. I'm no undermining some of the clubs like Cove Rangers and other clubs out with it, and the Highlands that attract 600 folk a week. They're in charge at the SFA and whatever else. Come on, we need to start moving with the times.
Mark Wilson,
2018, and we're still living in 1918 times.
Mark Wilson, let me ask you, because again, Roger mentioned it a lot, and the one thing that, from a purely footballing perspective, because we can get into the politics of it all day long, we'd have to extend this programme, but the one thing that is a fact is that in Stuart Regan's tenure, we did not qualify for a major competition. But again, the question is, how much of the blame for that goes to the chief executive? Because of course there are players who take the blame, managers who take the blame, albeit he appointed the managers and so on. So,
but that is the bottom line. If you're asking what portion of the blame lies on his doorstep, he's a guy that makes the decisions on the manager. So, you know, there was many calls on here for managers to resign over those period for Gordon Strachan to go. You know, personally, I thought he should have stayed, which he did. Stuart Regan obviously thought that, but he gets paid for making that decision. And a lot of fans out there would say he made the wrong decision and he should have acted on it sooner. And, you know, that was just one problem. Roger touched on it. There's a whole list of problems that arrive at Stuart Regan's doorstep.
I did promise a busy show, and I am a man of my word. I'm sure we can take more calls on this later on, but let's turn our attention and hear from Craig Levein. He's had a real pop at Scott Brown today. Brendan Rodgers, of course, defending Scott Brown, as you may expect. We're going to hear those comments, and I'm keen to get your thoughts after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Let's hear from Craig Levein, shall we? Because he's become quite outspoken in the last couple of weeks, and he says that everybody should get more protection from Scott Brown. He's talking about this clash with Harry Cochrane. So the 16-year-old Hearts midfielder was left nursing an injured collarbone. He had to go off at Celtic Park during the week. He's now going to miss the next couple of weeks after a clash with the Hoops skipper. Now, there wasn't a foul given at the time. Celtic went up the pitch to score, actually, but Levein wasn't happy, and he wants the officials to do more. Let us know what you think of this.
Yeah, I was annoyed about that, you know, and I watched it back, and I think Scott had, after the game at Tynecastle, when Harry bossed him, I think he decided that he wasn't going to let that happen, you know. Listen, I know Scott for a long time, and he's aggressive in the way he plays. But
is that a learning experience for Harry, or do you think?
Yeah, of course.
With his age and relative lack of experience, he should get a little bit more protection from referees.
I think everybody should get a little bit more protection for Scott Brown, really. Yeah, we'll see.
What do we make of that?
Nonsense. Absolute nonsense.
Which part in particular?
Every part of it. More protection from Scott Brown. Yes, Scott Brown's been known to get into a hefty tackle. That's what midfield players do. Sometimes they get it right, sometimes they get it wrong, Gordon. I've watched Celtic for years for Super Scoreboard now, and would I say Scott Brown's a real dirty player, players need protection? Not at all.
Before we speak generally, let's talk about that incident.
I don't think he's got a case, Gordon. I've watched it over and over again. Scott Brown, as a midfield player, sees an opportunity to win the ball. He wins it. The referee's standing a couple of yards next to him. It's the way he lands on the young kid. Now, we don't want to see any young kid. We don't want to see anybody getting injured. But Scott Brown's got, and I don't care who it is, what team you play for, I think he's got every right to get in and win that ball. I think he wins the ball fairly. Yes, he lands on the boy gets an injury. But for Craig Levine to come out and say that and target Scott Brown as an individual, I think that's absolute nonsense for a manager.
Yeah. Well, before we speak more generally, Mark, about Scott Brown or whatever else, give us your take on that incident in particular.
Well, I think the ball was out of control. I thought Scott had every reason to go for it. I thought he challenged fairly for it and won the ball. And Gordon said it's unfortunate how then Scott's momentum took him into Harry Cochrane, who was on the ground, and he's ended up injured. But for the Hearts manager to come out and say that, and he knows Scott Brown, he knows him well, you know, he managed him, and to come out and say that, it's a load of nonsense. And you know, Craig Levine's had a couple of comments in the last few weeks that I would think is a lot of nonsense as well. I thought it was poor singling Scott out for that, especially somebody who he's worked with before.
I mean,
he knows the type of player he is.
I'm just kind of trying to play devil's advocate here. Is he just trying to protect Harry Cochrane? Might that be the reason?
Well, of course, of course he's trying to protect him. He's a 16-year-old kid who's been given the chance to play in a real physical league, and he's going to come across challenges like that. Now, if it was a high challenge to his knee with studs going in, you would go, yep, he's got a point. But if he's worried about a challenge like that just now in Harry Cochrane, he's going to be worried for the rest of his career, you know, or until he develops 21, 22. So he's going to have to get used to that. I mean, I'm sure the boy isn't complaining. I'm sure he's, you know, disappointed he's injured. But Craig Levine is going to have to get used to that if he keeps playing him in the side.
I think that looking at the other tackle, Gordon,
on Jim.
Jim. Mm-hmm. I think that if Craig Levine had come out and had a little pop at Scott Brown for that one, I'd have said, yeah, fair point.
Do you think that should have been a red card?
Yeah, I thought that was a bit naughty. And that's what I'm saying about Scott. I'm not saying he's an angel. Scott Brown's a very competitive player. But over the years, I think he's settled down a little bit. He's a winner. He goes in, he makes good challenges. And every manager in Scotland will tell you, I want a player like him in my team that will get the rest of the players fired up. I thought the tackle in June was a bit naughty. But Craig Levine never even mentioned that. He's playing on a 16-year-old boy, and I think that's wrong on the kid as well.
Right, we've got a couple of calls to take on this subject, but I think it's only right we get Brendan Rodgers' reaction first. He hit back, of course, saying that there was nothing in that challenge. He agrees with you two. The Celtic boss then questioned whether a 16-year-old should be thrown into a game of that size and insists that Scott Brown is not an overly aggressive player.
Well, I would need to know on the aspect of which it was said. I think that certainly there was, you know, there was nothing in the tackle. You know, it was they competed in the air. You know, the young guy was unfortunate that he's got his power, you know, and his strength. He jumps up, he wins the ball, and the young boy falls, and he clearly falls awkwardly and was in pain coming off. You know, you could argue, should a 16-year-old be put into a game of that magnitude against a top, the best team in Scotland, you know, into that level of intensity game? But the young player showed he could handle it in the game at Tynecastle. Just an unfortunate incident. But no, I don't think there's anything against Scott Brown on it. You know, if you actually look at the game, over the course of the game, the actual foul count was more towards Hearts. I think there's 21 fouls they made against R9 You know, our game, we had to be aggressive in the game. We had to have intensity. But that's how we play. That's a general aspect of how we play every single game. You have to earn the right. You have to be able to fight and be hungry for the ball. And I think we did that on the evening.
Let's speak to Jason in Steps. Hi, Jason.
Hi, guys. How are we?
Not bad. What's your take on this?
Well, my point is, I heard this today and it annoyed me a little bit because I was at the game against Hearts and I didn't really think, if anything, it was probably more Brendan Rodgers has probably stole my thunder a wee bit. So what the time was, I'd looked at the stats today and Hearts have actually conceded 21 fouls against Celtic's 9. Now, being at the game, there was probably quite several fouls against Hearts that weren't actually given as fouls as well because the referee played it on. So I think the first point I want to make is obviously when he's coming out and making comments like that about Scott Brown, I think he needs to look at his own team and see the foul count that he's done against Celtic. That's my first point. My second point is he came out after the Hibernian game and he came out and said that natural order had been restored. He's not come out and said that after the Celtic game, has he? Because in my opinion, natural order has been restored.
Yeah, I mean, Gordon, in terms of basing things on the foul count, it's always quite a difficult one because this is an incident where Craig Levein thinks should have been a foul and it wasn't. So, you know, the foul count only tells part of the story. But I totally understand why Jason's bringing this up.
My argument to this, Gordon, is simple. You can go tit for tat here and say, well, Hearts have committed so many fouls, Celtic have committed so many fouls. That's what happens in football. But as a manager, and Craig Levein's been an international manager, you don't just call out the Celtic captain as an individual, have a go at him for that tackle, when he's totally wrong. He's 100% wrong in this. And, you know, and Brendan Rodgers has come out, and where I'll disagree with Brendan Rodgers is, it doesn't matter if the young lad's 16. At the end of the day, that's not Brendan Rodgers' problem. It's up to Craig Levein if he wants to pick the kid to play in a game of that. Go back to years ago. We've got a guy that sits in our studio at 16, played in a Scottish Cup final, scored the winning goal. So where I disagree totally with Craig Levein, I played against Craig Levein. Craig Levein was one of the most aggressive players and a very, very good player, let me say, that was going about. I was there when... The day, and I don't want to pick on him, the day when he had a real barney with his own player. And
more
I seen,
than a barney.
Well, I was there, Gordon. I seen the outcome of it. So for Craig Levein,
but then again,
with his experience...
Does that really come into this discussion?
Yeah, well, he should know better. With your experience, you should
yeah,
know
two
better.
Seconds, Jason.
And you can't... if I was a lad, Jim, I'd be saying to my manager, you're coming out and defending a tackle that was a right tackle and unfortunately a kid get injured. Through no fault of Scott Brown, why are you not protecting me?
Well, just before I bring Jason back in, what about this for a theory? Jim McLaughlin's on Twitter says, I don't think Craig Levein's done Harry Cochran any favours. He singles the boy out, almost highlights him as being a weak player needing protected, and maybe made him a target now.
Well, that's what I said. If he's worried about him just now and he's made an issue, he's going to have it almost every week with players thinking we can get close to him, we can, you know, rough him up a bit. I don't think that's a bad point. You know, Craig Levein coming out and almost saying, look, he's 16, just take it a wee bit easy with this guy, he needs protection. Nonsense. If he's playing in that first team at 16, he should be able to handle
and
the,
to be
the
fair,
possession side, but the physical side.
Craig Levein said that he bossed Scott Brown at Tynecastle.
Yes, so he handled it at
He handled
close.
It then.
Yeah, so
again, I thought that was nonsense. I know the result, and Harry Cochran scored.
He played very well.
He played very well. To say he bossed Scott Brown, that's another dig at Scott Brown. Again, somebody's worked with, and I'm sure I'm sure he had respect for him at the time, but it's another
Craig's one of these managers.
Just let me let Jason back in, if you don't mind first, Gordon. Jason, keep it brief if you can. Time's against me a little bit.
Yeah. The only thing I was going to say is, when you look at Scott Brown and the dig that he's had at Scott Brown, if you compare Scott Brown to all the other midfielders in Scotland, Scott Brown has got an impeccable disciplinary record compared to a lot of other players in the league. And I think when you take that into account for club and country, I think saying something like that against them is totally uncalled for.
Yeah, I'm not saying I disagree, Jason, but I think where Craig Levein would... that this is kind of Craig Levein's point. He's saying he gets away with it. You know, he's not talking about the number of bookings or whatever that he does receive. He's talking about the ones he should receive. Do you see the difference?
And
I'm not saying I think he deserves more. I'm saying that's where Craig Levein's coming from.
you could say that about a lot of people, though, couldn't you? It's just you can only go with what's been given, and what's, you can't talk about what's not been given.
But how does Craig Levein know that over the course of a season when he only sees Celtic or plays against Celtic four times, Gordon? So how can he make that opinion? How can he make that a judgment on one player? I think Craig Levein's one of his managers. When it's going well, he likes to come out and stir it. When it's not going well, he'll go and hide somewhere, and you won't hear from Craig Levein. Now, up until, I think, was it against Celtic, they'd went 741 minutes without losing a goal.
Well, they lost at the end of the Motherwell game at the weekend.
Sorry, up until that point. And Craig Levein was out talking about his team, his young players, and everything about it. He goes to Celtic Park and he loses, and the first thing he does is come out and say, instead of saying, what a fantastic run we've been on, the kids have been brilliant, he comes out and has a pop at the Celtic captain. Nonsense.
Stevie's in Paisley. Hi, Stevie.
Hi, how you doing, mate?
Not bad,
hi,
thanks.
Hi, Daz, how you doing?
Hi, Stevie.
Hi, wee man, how's it going?
Going, wee man. What's Wilson, it? That's you.
All right, aye, Stevie, aye, sorry. Aye.
I'm a Rangers man, right? And I will turn around and tell you, I watched that tackle on the television there, and I'm a Rangers man. Scott Brown done nothing. Honestly, done absolutely nothing. Now, I know Scott Brown comes under a lot of flack, but that was not a foul or nothing in my eyes, you know. But, I don't know how you guys see it, but I'll tell you, Daz, I'm not kidding you, you hit the nail on the head. Scott Brown done nothing wrong there.
Mark, what do you make of the fact that Craig Levein picked that incident? Obviously it's because Cochrane gets the injury. Gordon said earlier he actually thought the tackle from Scott Brown on Dume was worse. Is that worse. Something you'd agree with?
Yeah, it was worse. Still, I don't think that was a red card. I know some people are saying it's a red. I think, do you say it was a red, Gordon? You say it could have been.
I wouldn't be surprised if the referee had given Scott Brown.
I think
Brown
that was a booking. Yeah, I would hold my hands up and say, yep, booking. He went in very quickly, lost control of the ball. Yeah, so complain about that one. But the Harry Cochrane one is a coming together. Harry Cochrane didn't have control of the ball. Scott Brown, again, was perfectly entitled to go for it and won it fair and square. But again, I just feel sorry for the kid because he's highlighting it. But it's the way Craig Levein has comes across in his press conferences these last few times he said something controversial. They're measured. You know, it's not a quick answer. A journalist asked him and he just fires it off quickly. You actually see him thinking about the answer and saying it in that very slow way he talks. And you almost think, was it prepared before he came on? Did he know the question was coming? And I don't know why he does it. You know, Gordon's got his opinion, but it's very strange for me, for him to come out and say that.
We're going to take more of your calls after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. A recap of the breaking news at the top of the show, in case you missed it, is that Stuart Regan has stepped down from his position as chief executive of the Scottish FA after 8 years in charge. He has decided to move on and it is time for a change at Hampden. We're taking calls on that a bit earlier on. We've got lots more to come. I want to get the Rangers fans' opinions on that game in Fraserburgh last night, Alfredo Morelos' situation as well. It's 01419511025 on the phones. We are on Twitter at Clyde SSB, and guys, I don't know if you've noticed now, if you're on Twitter, that we now have the cameras here in the studio. So sometimes if you say anything interesting, don't hold your breath, but if you say anything interesting, sometimes a wee video will then go out on Twitter. And I'm a bit worried about Mark Wilson tonight, Gordon, because if I can just describe it to you listening at home, he's got a nasty cut. Yes. on the bridge of his nose.
I certainly have.
I asked him how he got it and he said that someone hit him with their shuttlecock. That was what he said.
Sporting injury.
Definitely a shuttlecock. Yep.
Shuttle in front of it.
And it hit you right in the bridge of the nose.
I did. Yeah, had a game of badminton.
It looks like a nasty one, doesn't it?
Aye.
Could you imagine being that manos?
Both of his were at the net. He smashed it right off the bridge of my nose. So, yep. Sore one.
That's
sore
his story, one. And yeah, he is sticking to it. Brian is in Pollock. Hi, Brian.
Hi. How are you?
How are you?
Not bad.
Your point tonight?
It was just about Craig Levein's comments.
Mm-hmm.
I think what I took for the game last night was that if anybody needs protection, it's Kieran Tierney that needs protection for the whole Hearts team. Because it seemed to be every time he picked the ball up, there was somebody getting in late on them. And there was one, I don't remember exactly who it was, but halfway through the first half on the left-hand side, and he went in knee-high, studs up, and went right through Kieran Tierney, the same as Ryan Bowman did a year ago, whatever. It's disgraceful, the treatment that he gets. It seems to be every team that comes to Parkhead targets Kieran Tierney.
Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, because Brian's got his theory. I'm not saying I disagree completely, but do you think Kieran Tierney personally is being targeted, or is it just a side effect of the fact that Celtic have the ball all the time? Tierney, for instance, is out wide. Players might think they can close him down, and then he shifts it on. Maybe there is something more sinister, but I was just trying to.
I don't think so. I don't think there's anything more sinister. I think it's the fact that Kieran Tierney is that good and that sharp with the ball that when he gets it, he drags people in. He's very good at dragging people into him and then just taking that touch away, and his acceleration is exceptional. And that's going to come. If you watched the top player, say Gareth Bale was at Tottenham, very good at it. He would drag people in, one touch by them, and he was away. And he got wiped out a load of times because sometimes defenders are just that yard too slow. But I don't think people are going out and saying, right, let's put three or four tackles into this boy and he'll be quiet. I don't think that's the case at all.
I agree with you, Mark. Kieran Tierney will be delighted.
You two have agreed quite a lot. I think we should maybe start disagreeing if you can.
Tierney will be delighted to hear that he's put in there beside Bale. What a career this boy's going to have. But I know where Mark's coming from. I don't think they go and target Tierney. I think you touched on a good point as well, Gordon, as Celtic have so much of ball, especially at home. So they're going to be tackles. As I said, the minute Scott Brown's name was mentioned, the tit for tat's right in there. Oh, what about Tierney? What about Scott Sinclair? What about these? Every club can say it. Every club can go and come on this phone and say, well, we played X the last week and there was a few tackles going in. It's a contact sport. You're going to have mistimed tackles. I don't think there's a lot of really what you would call, you know, dirty players out there that go out to try and injure somebody. I don't think that happens in the sport. I think everybody respects each other. Yes, there are a bit of niggle in it. That's part and parcel of the game. And I hate harping on, but in my time, the centre-halves used to have allowed one tackle at you.
That's very different, isn't it, now?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. You're not allowed that. But in the old days, and I'm saying I'm a bit older newsboys, you knew.
Understatement of the night.
You knew that the likes say, in a game, the centre half in the first minute, and the greatest shout was, it's my first tackle, ref.
Brian, I'm wondering though, just on your theory, is it really, does Kieran Tierney really get it worse than anyone else? I'm not saying that he hasn't been on the receiving end of some sore ones, he definitely has. I mean, even if you look down south in the last couple of nights, I mean, what about Matt Phillips' challenge on the boy, the young sub who came on for Man City in the West Brom game? There's been some horrors. It just seems to be that the players who move the ball the quickest, Brian, they're the ones that tend to be at the highest risk level, no?
I can understand that, and that's fair enough. Players, if you're moving the ball quickly on the ground, you might get tripped if somebody's coming in late, but you're not going to get catch studs in your knee the way he did last night. Mm-hmm. I think if you're getting knee high with your studs up, you're going to hurt somebody.
Well, again, I don't agree with that. I mean, sometimes the ball is up at that level. You know, a bad touch, the ball might bobble up. Now, if the ball's on the deck, right, okay, Brian, I get your point. If the ball's on the deck, in control, and somebody goes in with their studs at the knee, then you're going to intentionally hurt somebody. But most of the time, you know, you see a challenge like this is when somebody's trying to block a pass that's bobbling about, and then they catch a player. And Kieran Tierney does get a lot of fouls against him. But if you look at Celtic's play, and we're saying there they've got the majority of the ball, which they have, but the majority of Celtic's play, then, if you dissect that, is down their left side. If you watch them every game, I can't put a percentage on it, but the majority of the play goes through Kieran Tierney and Scott Sinclair down that left side. And if that's going to happen with the pace that they've got, you're going to get fouls against you.
That was Brian in Pollock. Let's speak to Brian in Stirling. Hi, Brian.
Good evening, chaps. How are you?
Not bad, Brian. You?
Right, okay, I was at the game, 3-1. Could have been 8-1 if it wasn't for the goalkeeper. I thought their goalkeeper was excellent. But for the sour grapes, and that's all I'm going to put it down to, is Craig Levein coming out in the press and saying today about young Harry Cochrane getting hurt by Bruni. Bruni was the man of the match on the night. Bruni was international class on the night, and Bruni has been international class over the piece. 10 years, that boy's changed his game out of sight again under Brendan Rodgers. He's kicked on again as if it was possible. Brendan Rodgers, to his advantage, committed himself today with a dignity and class in what he said. And the young boy, Harry Cochran, as Craig Levine had said, had bossed Bruni in the 4-0 game. Well, no, the game that I saw, Hearts got a wee bit lucky, and they got a well done and a pat on the back from most of Scotland, including a lot of Celtic fans. So for Mr. Levine to come out with definite sour grapes on the Bruni incident, I thought the one you have touched on the night earlier. But what I want to say to Mr. Levine is, if he's listening, I hope you're listening, Craig, because I did today, I looked at the Fair Play League so far, the Fair Play table so far. Hearts are bottom, 11 points worse off than any other team in Scottish in the SPFL. Celtic are top. So for a team that's kicking its way into fifth place, some 26 points behind Celtic, by the way, it's an abomination for that man to come on and he's just embarrassed Hearts. He's embarrassed all the good work that Hearts have done, because I've been on this programme saying, well done Hearts for what they went through and came back up the right way and done everything the right way. And Craig Levine makes a mockery of that. They're coming out with Matt's statement. It's a ridiculous thing. For a man in the match, Bruni has done nothing wrong. And you guys have said it tonight as well. Celtic are top of that league, 8 points in front of second place Hibs.
That's the fair play table you're talking about, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, Mr. Henrik has just sent me a picture of it on Twitter actually as well. I suppose it's more some of the words that Craig Levine's picked that you mm-hmm. two are taking objection to. Is that fair? Because I don't think, listen, every manager at times comes out and claims that the other team should have been punished for this, that and the next thing, don't they? We hear that all the time. Managers see things very differently from each other. But
out of respect, Gordon, Scott Brown's the international captain. Craig Levine's been the manager of international.
Do you think that really should make a difference?
Yeah, out of respect, I don't think you can come out and single out a player. If he comes out and says, do you know what, I think Celtic made it very physical tonight, fine, that's his opinion.
The single players get singled out all the
time,
don't they?
You know what struck me when I heard it right away? I thought, that sounds like he's got a wee problem with Scott Brown. If almost, now I don't know if that's the case, almost as if something's happened perhaps between them behind the scenes, or I don't know if Scott Brown says something in the press that Craig Levine hasn't liked. I don't know. But that's what struck me when he says the tackle and then the bossing thing. It seemed like that.
Beat the pundits with Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
It is time to play Beat the Pundit. We're going to look at Rangers game against Fraserburgh last night, hear from Graham Murty on that game and this ongoing situation with Alfredo Morelos. So get in touch with your thoughts on that. But before we get to that, it is time to register your interest to play Beat the Pundit. I know lots of you like to try and take on Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel. If you fancy your chances, go and pick up that phone right now. Dial 0141 951 1025 and you could play Beat the Pundit after the news.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're going to hear from Graham Murty. He's talking about the game in Fraserburgh last night and Alfredo Morelos. It's 0141 951 1025. Why not get in touch and let us know what you think? But before we do that,
Beat the Pundits with Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Let's meet tonight's contestant then for Beat the Pundit. Is Chris from Port Glasgow. Hi Chris.
Hi Paul.
How are you?
I'm not too bad, how's yourself?
Yeah, can't complain at all Chris. I'm going to toss the old coin. Would you have a preference if you could choose Gordon Dalziel or Mark Wilson?
I'll take Mark for a wheel from Derby, please.
Oh, right. Well, see what the coin says, but I like your thinking. At least you've put a bit of thought into that one. Heads, it's Mark Wilson. Tails, it's Gordon Dalziel.
Let's have heads.
And it's actually, well, heads, as it's Mark Wilson. So there you are. You got your wish. Let's give Mark some Clyde 2 so that he can't hear what we are.
He's
very honest of him there, Chris. He could have just stayed and listened to your answers.
Honesty's the best
quality. I like that. Right, let's go for this again. Now he's giving me the thumbs up. He can't hear us. Great. Okay, Chris, it's 30 seconds head to head. You can pass. Here's your chance to beat the pundit, okay?
Yep.
New Celtic signing Jack Hendry started his career with which Scottish club?
Aula.
Who did Barcelona face tonight in the Copa del Rey semi-final?
Seville.
Which side currently sit third in the Scottish Championship?
Volker.
Which PSG player did Spurs sign yesterday for $23 million?
Lucas Moura.
Scotland kick off the Six Nations at the weekend against which team?
Ireland.
Stuart Regan has stepped down from which position at the Scottish FA?
Director of football.
Okay, let's bring Mark Wilson back. Are you with us?
Yes.
Great stuff already. Same set of questions to you.
Okay.
Let's get it done. New Celtic signing Jack Hendry started his career with which Scottish club?
Partick Thistle.
Who did Barcelona face tonight in the Copa del Rey semi-final?
Sevilla.
Which side currently sit third in the Scottish Championship?
Morton.
Which PSG player did Spurs sign yesterday for £23 million?
Moussa.
Scotland kick off the Six Nations at the weekend against which team?
Wales.
And Stuart Regan has today stepped down from the Scottish FA from which position?
Chief exec.
Okay. How are you feeling about that, Chris?
Yeah, nervous more than anything.
Good, Chris, good.
It took you a while to get going, Chris. Let's go through them. New Celtic signing Jack Hendry started his career with Partick Thistle.
Yes.
One that, honestly, look how seriously he takes it.
That was a tough one.
Honestly,
I didn't read up on them.
Chris,
day.
he's punching the air and all sorts. It's horrible to watch.
1-0
to Mark Wilson at the moment. Who did Barcelona face tonight in the Copa del Rey semi-final? I think you both went for Seville. It's actually Valencia. Which side currently sit third in the Scottish Championship?
Livingston.
It is Livingston. So it's 1-0 to Mark at the moment. Not a great start.
Classic, that's
who did Spurs sign yesterday for $23 million? It's Lucas Moura, not Moussa. I don't know where you got that from. So Chris equalises.
Oh, did you get that?
1-1. Scotland kick off the Six Nations against Wales. Mark Wilson goes back in the lead. It's getting tense. And it's all going to come down to the last question then. Stuart Regan stepped down from which position at the Scottish FA? Mark said chief executive, Chris said director of football, and it was chief executive. So it was a 3-1 victory for Mark Wilson. Hard lines, Chris.
Unlucky, Chris.
Well done, Chris. See,
we'll get you in March.
Honestly, Chris is a good loser.
Yeah.
He's gracious.
Very nice.
Mark Wilson's laughing and punching the air.
Terrible.
Honestly,
you celebrate your victories.
Well,
unbelievable.
Yeah. I don't think. We've been beat this year.
Nah, we've not.
Well, we'll tell you what, there's
it's
been
a team game. I'm doing it for him.
There have been a few of the pundits have been losing recently.
Have they?
No, it's not on a Thursday.
Not you two, no.
Oh, yeah. No balls come in here on a Thursday.
Right, okay. Moving on, please.
Kind of analogy.
I think he's talking about the signed ball that we give.
I don't understand what you're talking about.
Very well good, done, Gordon. Keep up, Mark.
Yeah,
please.
I think we'll have to move on from that one, will we? Yeah, I think it's for the best. Graham Murty says that Fraserburgh made it tough for his side at Bellesley Park last night. He felt they should have done better, though. The Rangers boss also said he's finding it hard to be happy for Josh Windass. That's despite the forward bagging a hat-trick.
I thought they were very organised. I thought they worked extremely hard. I thought they knew what they were doing and played the conditions extremely well. They made it very difficult for us, so congratulations to them. And I thought overall that they gave us some dicey moments. We knew it wasn't going to be easy. We had to pay them the respect of doing our job properly. And I only really kind of relaxed when we got the third goal, because I thought at any second a random chance element could have come into it. A refereeing decision, a stray ball, a clearing, something that just happens in the game, one of those footballing incidents that make managers go bald. I was kind of frustrated because we weren't really clean and crisp, but it was to be expected given the circumstances and given how much they actually wanted to put on a good show in front of their crowd. I'm finding it quite hard to be pleased for him, because I think there's so much more to come from him. I think that you get excited when he gets the ball and drives the people in the final third. I thought he spent the majority of his play too deep and not actually affecting his opponent. But when he did affect his opponent, he's destructive. We want to see more of that from him. But I'm finding it hard to be too down on him because he scored three for us.
Rangers fans, what did you make of the game last night? Was it just a case of getting the job done and getting back down the road into the next round? 01419511025. And we're going to hear from Graham Murty on Alfredo Morelos in a second, so get in touch and give us your thoughts. Gordon, Josh Windass goes home with a match ball, but Graham Murty wasn't too impressed with him.
I think the Rangers manager's been respectful to Fraserburgh. I thought Fraserburgh were hopeless, Gordon.
Oh, come on.
I did. I just thought.
Give them a break. I thought they were, look,
I'm not being disrespectful. I don't think they look well organised. Some of the tackles were incredible. It was terrible conditions.
But it's always going to be a mismatch, though. So surely.
I know that, but
surely they did okay.
But for Graham to turn around and say there, look, I can't feel happy for, Josh Windass, the hat trick. It was a job well done, Gordon. You go up to these Highland teams, that's their cup final. Half of them are Rangers supporters, half of them are Celtic supporters. You know, they're all plumbers, electricians and whatever. And well done to them. They had a fantastic night. But I'm sorry, I thought they were shocking.
Hold on a wee second.
All plumbers and electricians.
You don't need me.
And what oil rigs and whatever.
Honestly, who's being disrespectful now?
That sounds like
jobs.
You don't need me to tell you that sometimes we teams get a hammering off Rangers in the cup.
Name one.
Air.
We were a big team. We were in the semi-final and the cup final.
So is that not even worse then?
We teams.
Is that not even worse?
Well, you tell me last time Fraserburgh got to a semi-final of Scottish Cup.
You're being harsh.
Final League Cup.
I think you're being harsh on them. Listen,
for a Highland League team, they're great up there and they've scored a lot of goals and I wish them all the best in the world. But to turn around and say, you know, I was a wee bit concerned about maybe, I don't even think they had a decent shot in time. They were hopeless.
You're a harsh man.
They were hopeless.
Let's speak to Martin and Boness. Hi, Martin.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Not bad, Martin. Bring some sense to this.
I think Graham was just a wee bit too harsh. I mean, you need to remember, he made six changes. You had Halliday, who hadn't played for us for a long, long time. Hodgson, I couldn't tell you the last time he played a game for us. We had Cardoso, who was out of the game, who was lacking confidence anyway, amongst other changes. I think 3-0 victory with half the squad who hadn't played for us for a long while, I'd take that any day.
Also, Martin, right, and let's not be kidded here, everybody that watched the game or travelled up there to the game, and well done to them. I never sat at any point of the game and thought, oh, Rangers could lose a goal here or Rangers could be in trouble.
No, I was glad to watch it on the TV, but yeah, I wasn't uncomfortable. But then again, if you remember our champion Europa League, lower league team embarrassment, then you can think it's not too far-fetched to think that they could have done something, but I wasn't under any...
A lot of people think because the conditions, the pitch, obviously Rangers players are used to getting into decent dressing rooms in the Premier League. You know what like is when you go to these little grounds, you know, you have to get in twos and to get changed. Sometimes, you know, they're that small. Did Rangers play well, terrifically well? No, they didn't.
But it was never going to be in those conditions, was it?
Comfortable, Gordon, and I don't see any reason to come out and say, well, I was a little bit concerned. I couldn't be happy for Josh Wynn. He scored a hat trick, and I thought the boy played really, really well and scored three goals. Doesn't matter who you're playing against. Match ball down the road, job done, and they play the mighty, massive club of air.
Oh, God. What a game that's going to be. Aye. But if you're Josh Windass, Gordon's right, you score a hat trick in any game. And especially when it's televised, you know, it's getting beamed in on Sky around the country. You're well chuffed with yourself.
And I thought his finish, the two finishes, apart from the penalty kick, the two finishes I thought were terrific finishes. I don't care what goalkeeper's in there, whether he's a plumber or he's a professional football player, but you wouldn't have saved him. There were two terrific finishes. But so
the early rounds of the cup, there's no doubt about it. These games are difficult mentally to get up for. Of course, Rangers, team full of stars paid X, Y, and Z, international players, they should go up there and win. But it's the mental side of, you know, travelling up there, cold, wet, windy night, bobbly pitch, it's dealing with it. And if Rangers came away with a 1-0 or a 2-0, you know, or a scraped a 2-1, you'd be asking questions. 3-0, though, it was easy. And well done to them. Professional job.
Martin, stay on the line. I'll get your thoughts on this, because Alfredo Morelos was obviously left on the bench last night. Graham Murty claims that all the speculation that's been going on has confused the player, but he says he does have big plans for the striker going forward.
Obviously their transfer window closes later than ours, but we have to make sure that we protect our squad. We just have to make sure that Alfredo understands our position, that we're not trying to derail anything for him or his family. We're just trying to take care of him and the club at the same time, and we believe we can do that. We believe we can get him to the next level with us. It's down to us as a club and me as a manager to make sure he feels loved by us and respected by us, and that we're taking good care of him. It's quite challenging actually, because his English is about as good as my Spanish, but we've got our translator with us, and we've conveyed our feelings. He's conveyed his feelings to us, and he's confused at the moment. There's loads of stuff being written, there's loads of stuff, there's figures being bandied around that would turn anyone's head. How real they are, I'm not sure, but it's almost designed to confuse and unsettle, and we just have to make sure he understands our position, that we want him here with us. If he's sold, then it means I've okayed it. Other than that, he won't be going.
Martin is still on the lines, a Rangers fan. What are you making of all this, Martin?
I think Morelos is coming in for a bit of unfair criticism. He's our top scorer. He's our top scorer in the league with 13 goals. Don't get me wrong, £8 million is, in my opinion, probably quite a bit overpriced for him. But to be honest, there's no other club that's going to pay that kind of money. But if we'd taken the £8 million with the transfer window shutting, we wouldn't have been able to brought someone in at all. It would have been a rush job, and we would have been left without our top scorer and having all the pressure being put on Cummins, who's only just joined us. I don't doubt for a second that Cummins will get some goals for us, but to make him the focal point of our attack at that kind of early stage is a bit unfair on him. I'm happy we're keeping Morelos, just simply for the fact that he's doing the job for us just now. In the summer, when we've got more time and someone still wants to offer that kind of money for him, fine, do it then, but not just now.
Let me ask you two about this. It's become, you'll have noticed, a favourite pastime, arguing about this bid on Twitter. That's not really the road I want to go down, because we've been there for the last couple of nights. What I am talking about is specifically what Graham Murty has just said, that however much of this speculation is accurate, whatever it is that's going to happen, it is confusing Alfredo Morelos, he says. In that respect, the Rangers have a problem there, or will that something that will get ironed out?
I think it will get ironed out. It goes back to, it was a case with Dembele as well, and I said at the weekend, Gordon, this boy is a good talent. You don't become a bad player. Yeah, they're young. Sometimes your head gets turned a little bit with other clubs coming in, showing an interest. And as Graham Murty said there, and you remember, you've still got, I think the transfer deadline in China is 28th of February, yeah, around about that. So you still get that. If the right offer comes in for him, and I don't know, and I'm not getting involved in the, you know, the 8 million, 6 million and stuff like that. If the right offer comes in for him, every player at every club has got their value. Now, you don't know if you can take into consideration, are there sell-on clause for these other clubs? You know, what's the percentage of that? Because sometimes, usually, when you go to another club, that's the first thing put in a contract. We don't know that. Are Rangers, if it is the club in China, are they holding out for more money? Because we know there's a lot of money in that league. So they might just be saying, well, hold on a minute here, we'll sit to the 28th of February. I'll be interested to see if he's still here. But what the boy has to do now is, it was a good opportunity to leave him on the bench the other night, because they were never going to lose a game anyway. I don't think he'll leave him on the bench against Hibs on Saturday at Ibrox.
Mark, because Graham Murty himself there, and I think, to be fair, before anyone jumps on, I think he was talking about the wages. He talks about the money that's on offer to Alfredo Morelos, and he said something along the lines, I appreciate I'm paraphrasing, you know, we don't know how true some of these figures are. Yeah. I think he's talking about the wages. You can understand if these figures are being floated around, whether he's reading them, whether he's been told about them, you can understand why he's at least having, yeah, his head turned.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say to Gordon there, I don't think it will be ironed out that smoothly. I mean, I think if Morelos is sitting there and his manager's come out and says he's confused, and I read the other day in one newspaper, it was 27,000 after tax he could be getting.
Well, I think that's what, you know, I think that's what Graham Murty is referring to when he, yeah, says it remains to be seen how accurate these figures are.
But the boy will be reading that, or he'll have someone informing him about that. His agent may know even more. His agent may know for a fact that he could get that and be telling them things. So would he be sitting there going, no, I'm quite happy to stay here? Of course his head's going to be turned. You know, he's a young player who's came to this country, and you've got to say he's been a success over the last, what, 6 months, 7 months. If he's top scorer in the league,
so you don't think he'll play? You don't think he'll play on Saturday?
No, I'm not saying that.
What are you saying then?
No, I'm saying he will play on Saturday, but till the end of the month.
Will he?
Will he be? Will,
yeah,
he be
of
happy?
He will.
Will Graham? Graham? Will Jason Cummings go back and sit on the bench?
Probably. But I think it's a great opportunity to give Morelos a
Will he be happy? Will he be a happy player going on the pitch? I mean, you know, you see the pictures of him, cuts a lonely figure sitting on the bench. That's all a bit
easy
nonsense
to get that picture, yeah.
But if you know you can, I don't know, double, treble your wage somewhere else, he's a young player. Of course he's going to be interested in that. So it's up to Graham Murray to keep him happy. And what way Rangers can do that, I don't know.
Right, it was a fairly busy transfer deadline day. When we were on air last night, we were waiting for some of the dominoes to start falling, things that had to go one way for other deals to happen. The merry-go-round starts to turn. That's what we love about transfer deadline day. We're going to hear from new Celtic defender Jack Hendry. He was one of the last moves confirmed last night. And that brings us on to, I suppose, a topic of discussion for everyone. What did you make of your team's deadline day? Were you happy? Were you disappointed? Let us know. 0141 951 1025. That's coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. And it's about time that we got these two a full time teaser. We're going to hear from Jack Hendry soon, and I open this out to fans of all clubs. It was deadline day last night. I want to know what you made of your deadline day business. Were you happy? Did you get everything you wanted? Did you hope for something more? And what about your business overall in the transfer window? How satisfied were you? 0141 951 1025. And if you'd rather get in touch on Twitter, we are at Clyde SSB as well. This teaser has been sent in by Dale Handley, so thanks to Dale for sending it in. Quite simple. He says, who are the 10 loan signings made for Celtic by Ronnie Dyla and Brendan Rodgers? Who are the 10 loan signings made for Celtic by Ronnie Dyla and Brendan Rodgers?
Missonda. Aye.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Patrick Roberts.
Papa Roberts.
Okay.
Do you call him
that? Papa Roberts.
Papa Roberts.
Is that Papa Roberts? Roberts.
He's da.
I was trying to get dead quick there.
I'll take one more at the moment if you've got one.
Hold on a minute. Ronnie Dyla signed.
No, he's not one.
But it's Dyla and Rodgers.
Yes, Dyla and Rodgers. Who did they sign on loan? 10 players. You've already got two. You've got Roberts and Missonda.
Did Denier?
Jason Denier. Yeah, good.
Yes, Denier. Well done. Yeah. Good shout. Okay, you've got 3 out of the 10. You're making good progress so far. Let's take a call, shall we? Let's speak to Thomas, who's in Kilsyth. Hi, Thomas.
Hi, Gordon.
What did you make of your transfer business then, Thomas? You're a Celtic fan, obviously. Deadline day last night, what did you make of it?
Well, I'm glad we got Jack Hendry, because I think he's a good talent. I think he's obviously tall and powerful, I hope. But my point, I've got 2 points. First point's on Craig Levein's comments about Scott Brown, Gordon.
All right,
I just think it's absolutely ludicrous for especially for somebody like Craig Levein to come out and say that. I was talking, obviously it's going to single Harry Cochran out. I mean, the boy's 16, but it was a nothing tackle. He got the ball. I just feel it was absolutely shocking, the comments made by Levein.
Thomas is sort of sharing the opinion that you guys had earlier on in the show. Don't want to recap too much, but that's something that you guys went along with, yes? It was a fair challenge, that one certainly.
I thought it was, Gordon, and you know, I've watched it over and over, and I still can't understand what Craig Levein's comments are all about. I know the young lad went off with an injury, but it's one of these injuries. It was a freak injury. Scott Brown, as a captain, as a midfield player at Celtic, has every right to go for that ball. He won the ball, his team went up the park and scored a very good goal. So unfortunately for a young kid to get injured, and I can't for the life of me know what Craig Levein is having a go at Scott Brown for that tackle.
And once again, just to go back to it, you would have thought that Craig Levein and Scott Brown had some sort of relationship, you know, from being international, you know, working under him there. And it just seems like it was a wee pop at him, which I don't know if there's something underlying there, but it was poor anyway. A poor comment nonetheless.
Thomas kicked off actually by talking about Jack Hendry. Says he was quite happy with the signing of him. Let's hear from him. He says he's in the perfect place to improve his game after a deadline day move from Dundee. Hendry previously played down south before moving to Tayside, and admits it was probably a mistake to make the initial move. Now he says working with Brendan Rodgers at Celtic that he is raring to go.
It was a bit of a frustrating time, but always believed in my ability, always know where I could go. So I think when those times are hard, you just got to believe in yourself, remain positive, if I said maybe if it would happen as quick, maybe not, but I definitely think something like this would happen, but obviously the quicker it's happened the better, so yeah, really pleased. The international stage is obviously where you want to play, and I fully believe that I can do it, but it's obviously up to me now to show that I'm capable of doing that, and there's no better stage than doing it at Celtic Football Club. Yeah, obviously it's a great squad here. What they've achieved recently, it's been amazing, setting all those records and stuff, so it's not going to be an easy task, but I'm definitely up for it. There's a lot of experience here, there's a lot of boys to learn off of, and the coaching staff as well, so it's really a perfect environment for me to come in, learn my trade and kick on. Yeah, it was a massive attraction obviously to come here. The style of the play, I feel that it really suits my game, and hopefully that will complement the team as well, so it was a perfect fit really. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of interest I think from down south as well, but to be honest there was only one place that I wanted to come, and that was Celtic. Obviously the coaching staff, the squad, the facilities, the fan base, I mean, it ticks all the boxes for me personally, so there was a lot of interest, but there's only one place I wanted to come.
Right, come on, it doesn't matter what team you support, you must have thoughts on deadline day, the transfer window. Were you happy with what your team did, or were you not? What did you need that you didn't get? 0141 951 1025. Thomas was pleased there with the signing of Jack Hendry, we've just heard from him. Gordon, what do you make of that as a signing? It's one that we've sort of known has been in the pipeline for a while, and it finally got done last night for everyone who was staying up late to try and see the confirmation coming through.
Well, it's a position that a lot of people have been talking about recently, Gordon, is the centre-back situation. Obviously, he's a little bit short there with one or two injuries. Boyata's come in for a little bit of stick. Playing it right back at the weekend, Lustig's come in for a bit of stick as well. I think he's a terrific young player. The one thing I do like about him, he's a bit like Adjar, he steps from the back into the middle of the park, and he's good and confident with the ball at his feet, and he can make good passes. Whether he'll get straight in, I don't know. I think Brendan Rodgers will just ease him into the club, because as a young lad was saying there, that's the place he wanted to go. It's a big club, the surroundings, the facilities, the manager, the coaching staff, the players that he's going to play with. I think he'll be eased into this team, but I think he's a very, very good signing for the money.
I mean, Mark, for a signing between two Scottish clubs, it wasn't cheap. It was a record fee for Dundee. Dundee confirmed that, so we know that it's well above £1 million. So clearly highly rated. He's got a lot of attention recently, a lot of praise, Jack Hendry. What sort of level are we looking at? I mean, for instance, is he ready, if needed, to go straight in and play against Zenit?
Look, I don't think he'll have to bide his time that long, if I'm honest.
So you think he could go and play against Zenit?
Zenit, I'm not too sure.
Bit too soon?
It's a big gamble, you know, because Brendan Rodgers, I listened to him today, saying that he's brought him here because he thinks he can play Champions League football. There's no doubt he needs a bit of time to find his feet at his new surroundings. So Zenit might just come a bit too soon to be pitched into European football when you've never experienced it. It's a totally different game than playing domestic football. In terms of league though, you're right, it wasn't a cheap. So
who do you think his partner will be there, Mark? You know more,
you know,
about,
I like,
Celtic than I do.
Look, I like Ayer at the back, yeah. But then you go, is it wise to put two young centre-halves in? But then you think, well, they're good enough and they're aggressive enough and they play the way the manager likes his centre-halves to play. For example, stepping in with the ball, two of them have got pace, strong. Well, why not play them? So I don't think he'll have to bide his time that much.
He
and I know
it.
It's silly. See, when you get handed a shirt number, but just for me, handed the number 4 shirt. You know, wee statements like that.
It's under 67. Does that mean he's nowhere near the first 11?
Yeah, he's at the back of the queue. But, you know,
what number
are
you? 12, 14?
12. So I was just outside the starting 11 there.
If you look at the second half at Firhill last week and the game against Hearts, might we see more of a switch to 3 at the back from Brendan Rodgers? Do you think that's something he might do more often? He's done it in the past, he's done it recently. I just wonder now, with the defenders he has at his disposal,
yeah, he's got the personnel.
Disposal, should I say, if you think it's something he may do more often.
I think
often.
So, yeah. I think when he's got these guys, we've seen it before where he goes to the 3 and he goes 4 in front and he then lets the attackers go and have a go when he thinks it's a game that he's going to have so much possession. And it's worked out great for him. None more so than, remember, Pittodrie, where Celtic went up there and they played outstanding in that system. So now he's got another one in. yeah, it gives him every option to play that way. But I think this boy won't have to sit in the bench too long or sit in the stands too long. I think he'll find himself having a lot of game time. Plus, he's played a lot this season, so it's not as if he's one for the future who sat in the bench and came through development and we'll see how he gets on. He knows the league and he's aggressive. Brendan Rodgers spoke him up. He's quick. He can deal with the strikers in this league. But if you're chatting about European football, I think it might be early. Brendan Rodgers might have other ideas. So.
Okay, keep your thoughts coming on transfer deadline day. What did you make of the business that your team did? There was lots going on last night. Wasn't there a few things that had to fall into place? I particularly liked all the dominoes that had to fall with Scott Bain coming back from his loan spell to Hibs. He hadn't even played for Hibs yet, back to Dundee so that he could go to Celtic. Yeah. Scott Allen going from Dundee to Hibs. Obviously, his parent club is Celtic as well. There was so much to consider. Graham Gunion's a Rangers fan on Twitter, very happy with the way Rangers went about their business. John Paul Monaghan, happy enough with Celtic's business, kept our squad intact, added quality and experience in Missonda and Compare. Great prospects, Morton and Hendry as well. We've come out of the window stronger. And a Sammy McFarlane, Jim Duffy won't be happy. He says, not a very inspiring window from Morton. I was hoping that Jim Duffy was on your show a day early because he had a busy deadline day lined up, but alas, he didn't. There we are. I'm sorry, Sammy. You'll have to take it up with Jim Duffy. In the meantime, Ian is a Celtic fan on the line from Greenock. Ian, sum up Celtic's transfer business for us then.
Fantastic, Gordon. I've got a couple of points if That's I can fair. Get them in. Mm-hmm. Good evening, Mark, and good evening, Gordon.
Hi, Ian.
What a transfer window! The two boys that I've been mentioning to my friends for the last 6-7 months, the two of them are at Parkhead now, Charlie Missonda and young Jack Henry. And so we think we paid about $1.5 million, Gordon. It's a Dundee record for them. Charlie Missonda for 18 months. We paid $300,000 for young Lewis Morgan. We paid about $1.2 million for Marvin Comper. And we brought Scott Bain back to the club. Mark, can you help me here? Is Scott Bain an ex-Celtic goalkeeper?
No.
Was it Scott Fox?
Scott Fox, right.
But anyway, at that transfer window, we brought five players in. Four of them are youngsters. Good goalkeeper, three youngsters, 22, 21 and 20. And we brought on a bit of experience. He's back in training, Marvin Comper. Let the guys tell me what you think about their five. I think it's looking good for Celtic and it's the best I've ever seen them playing this season. It was on Tuesday night, minus four or five players.
Listen, the signings, I think, have been very good. Jack Henry, I like the look of him. Marvin Comper, I'll be honest, don't know much about him, but Celtic supporters have been calling out for an experienced guy in there, and he certainly adds that. Scott Bain, I actually like Scott Bain's a goalkeeper. I think he's very good also. I think he's obviously came under unfortunate situation at Dundee. Lewis Morgan, plenty of talent comes through. But Charlie Missonda is the one that he's seen glimpses of him the other night, and his wee flicks and tricks is somebody that's really going to light up the stadium. And that's what it's all about. You know, go to Celtic Park, that's what fans pay to see. You know, it's great winning, but they want to be entertained, and he's certainly a player that can do that. And you pair him with Scott Sinclair and Patrick Roberts and guys like that, and you've got a very, very exciting front line.
Do you know, you talk about the players, Mark, that's come into Celtic and added to the squad and everything like that. Just looking at Celtic recently, a player that looks like a new signing for me is Cham in the middle of the park.
Yeah, yep.
I think he's been absolutely terrific, and he's starting to grow into
that's
the Scottish
what I was
going
to say, just grow into
and he's you know, Brendan Rodgers is the same, and he might be the same with Jack Henry. He might just ease him in. Cham all of a sudden looks a different player. He looks a real top quality player, and it's like having a new signing for Celtic with him, I think.
Do you have another point, Ian, just before we have to move on? Go on then.
Yeah, just because you're busy, Gordon. The other point is comparisons to two centre forwards that I'm going to talk about, and Gordon, you'll probably know who I'm going to talk about here. One's Celtic, one's Rangers.
Moussa Dembele, he's been out injured over this season, maybe 3 months of the season. And Morelos, okay, he was injured for 2 weeks. There's no comparison. Okay, he's a top goal scorer, Morelos, but Rangers couldn't afford £2 million to pay for Jamie Murphy, and they're going to turn £8 million down. If that's the case, in my eyes, he's not even worth £8. He's a good player, but he's not worth £8.
Just to be clear, Ian, and I'm just asking you this, do you know for a fact Rangers couldn't afford £2 million? Do you know that's what it was?
Well, listen, I've looked at all the different media, Gordon, and the boy was coming to sign a 3.5-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, he's not on the flight to go to Florida. He goes a day late. The business doesn't get done after midnight, and he's flying out the next day. So it's went to a 3.5-year deal to a 6-month loan deal, where an option to buy, Gordon.
That's just an assumption then.
Yes. Okay. But Jamie Murphy is a boyhood Rangers supporter.
Yes.
Now, I'm a Celtic supporter, but I'm a football supporter as well. He is a good addition, but he doesn't know if he's going to sign permanently at the end of the season.
Well, I think the story at the time, if you remember, Ian, there was this guaranteed fixed fee in place, wasn't there? So that's certainly the plan. Listen, Ian, I agree with you that things are not always that straightforward in football, but that certainly is the plan at the moment. Just as actually Ian he made some good points about Celtic early on, then sort of brought up the Rangers side of it with Jamie Murphy. Before we do move on, because there's no Rangers fans really got in touch on the phones to see what they made of their business overall, Gordon, it was a quiet deadline day, but what about the business overall now that that's come to a close?
Yeah, I think Rangers were very active in the transfer market. Obviously the loans have come in, good experience, guys like Jamie Murphy, who I think will add a lot to Rangers. You've got Jason Cummings fighting for his position up there, because it looks like Graham Murphy might just go with the one striker. And if Morelos is his head's back on it again, I think he will definitely start against Hibs. But it'll be interesting, because you get the little bit of extra spark with Cummings having, you know, made his name at Hibs. So it'll be interesting what he does at the weekend. I think Rangers have added good strength to their squad, Gordon. They get a good result in their first game against Aberdeen. Difficult one against Ross County. Should have been really out of sight before the last, 15, 20 minutes. Ross County come in a little bit. Cruised through Fraserburgh. I think it'll be a big test, because I watched Hibs against Celtic last week, and they're decent at the back, decent in the middle of the park. They didn't have any firepower, and Neil Lennon's went out and addressed that. I think it'll be a terrific game at Ibrox.
Thomas is giving the teaser a right good go on Twitter. Hugh Moan's he's picked out one of the difficult ones, saying, do you think the guys will get...
And then
I'm going to fall for that one. What have you got so far? The ten loan signings made for Celtic by Dyla and Rogers. Odson Edouard is one, yes.
Yeah.
So you've got Denier, Roberts, Edouard, Masonda.
Gudetti,
well done.
Bain.
And Scott Bain. So you're getting there. Yeah, plenty
of time. I've got a hard one. What? I think it's a hard one.
I'll decide.
Well, Tonev.
Shout. Tonev.
I've got a harder one than that.
What?
You've got a hard one.
Oh, please hurry up.
Blackett.
Whoa, Tyler Blackett. By the way, you two are absolutely flying. Only two to go. We'll get the answers to the teaser after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here with me, Gordon Duncan, and they are stuck. They're stuck on Dale's full-time teaser. Dale Hanley sent this one in. We're looking for the 10 loan signings made by Celtic when Ronnie Dyla or Brendan Rodgers were in charge. They've already got some hard ones. They've got Tonev, Denier, Gudetti, Blackett, Roberts, Edouard, Masonda and Bain.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking for two more.
It must be Dyla's loan signings. We've got all Brendan Rodgers now.
Right, so who do you think they are? You got any names?
Carlton Cole wasn't... Was he loaned?
No, he was a short term deal. Remember, but it wasn't a loan.
Dyla had six in his team at one time, didn't he?
He did.
So it must be him. We're on. We've now narrowed it down.
It's got to be Dyla.
Right, we've narrowed it down.
Good work.
Fair play to Simon Pettigrew. He's on Twitter. He's picked the ones that you've missed. Mm-hmm.
Oh no! Come on, Simon, tell us.
Nothing at the moment. Blanks all round.
I think we might need clues in this.
I'll think about it. How does that sound?
Ooh.
You got something. You're waving your pen.
Wait in a minute. The
Hurry
boy
up.
The Norwegian guy scored in the European qualifiers.
Joe Inge Berger, whatever you call him.
Berg.
What's his name?
Joe
Berger.
I'm raging you got that one.
I'm on fire.
I am absolutely raging you got that one, because that's tough. So you've got one to get, plenty of time to get.
That's
it.
That's me, I'm out. You can get the last one.
Before we speak to Greg and Saul Coates, let's round off our chat about the transfer deadline day. I'll open out a bit more in general terms, talk about the transfer window. Pick a bit of business that impressed you. I maybe can't convince you to choose just one. I'm sure there have been a number of bits of business that you thought were good, but who do you think?
The best bit of business in the transfer, well, not the best bit of business, if you know what I mean here.
No, I don't know what you mean.
Was us not losing Trevor Carson.
Oh, you and your mother fan friends are happy to keep the goalie.
Gordon, I was over the moon. I was panicking. Yeah, that's in the Fir Park Club that night.
I think going back to our chat a few weeks ago, Stephen Naismith still, you know, get him up here. Guy that's on a lot of money, you know, the Hearts went for him, ambitious, got him. But guys like Niall McGinn, I think going back as well to Aberdeen, familiar at the club.
Adam Rooney just looks delighted to have someone back who's going to put crosses into the box, doesn't he?
Look at the goal last night, puts it across exactly where Adam Rooney wants, goal again. And I mentioned for Scott Allen, now somebody's career stumbled along, but he's back at a club that he's familiar with a manager who is pretty firm, that I know might just be what he needs to kickstart his career again.
You mentioned Niall McGinn and Adam Rooney. Well, it was Ross County 2, Aberdeen 4 last night, so a convincing win which moves Aberdeen back into second, albeit having played a game more than Rangers. Kenny McLean get 2, Adam Rooney get 2. Let's hear what Derek McInnes made of it.
I was really pleased with our work, you know. Although with some very good results up here, I've never at any point thought it was. It's never been comfortable or easy, and we have to work for everything. And I thought the movement from that front four was terrific, but we were hands down on top of the game. We got the goals that were dominance. Showed and really pleased. At half time, we just wanted to make it sure it was no dramatic second half. It didn't need to be excitable. We stressed the importance of doing the right things, and I thought we came out in the second half and just controlled the game. I thought really pleased. I thought Kenny McLean was outstanding from start to finish, and I know he gets his goals and that will highlight the performance, but I thought he was great being that midfield controller for us.
And then not a great deal in the game at Easter Road, but Hibs obviously getting the 3 points in the end. Always good when a debutant striker scores. Up the other end, I suppose, if you're looking for signs of encouragement from a Motherwell perspective, Gordon Curtis Main, another goal, that's 3-3 for him, with all these question marks about could he replace Louis Malt. So that was a tight one at Easter Road, Hibs coming out on top.
Yeah, it was always going to be difficult, Gordon. And you know, even in the Saturday against Hearts, when they got the late equaliser, and to go through Easter Road, always going to be difficult, because as I said, I was quite impressed with Hibs against Celtic, especially second half. I think they've got some decent players, lack a bit of firepower, as you said. Curtis Main, very impressed. He's a worker and he's doing very well.
Right, Greg's in Saul Coates. He's been hanging on quite a while and we're running out of time, Greg, so let's make it quick.
You're right, Gordon. I've been hanging about here,
Greg,
for 10
sorry,
minutes.
Sorry,
sorry. No bother at all. No, listen, I was listening to the last caller there that came on, and every Celtic fan that comes on, they seem to have their bit about their club, but then they've got to revert back to talking about Rangers. Now, one of the points he made was Rangers with the loan signings coming in, and they couldn't afford to get Jamie Murphy on a 3.5-year deal. Now, has it ever came across the panel that the fact that Graham Murphy is only there for interim manager, he's got a contract till the end of the season. Does it no make sense that they don't sign anybody on big long contracts? Because the next manager, if Murphy doesn't get the job, might not want these guys. So is it no good to get them in for a loan signing and then obviously see where that goes?
Gordon Dale, quickly.
Yeah, I do. I think it's a good bit of business. It doesn't tie you down to 3-year contracts. I think Murphy, if he keeps going the way he's going, will eventually get the job, and then he can decide where he wants to keep these guys on. I think it works well for both parties, the players and the manager and the club.
Greg, time is up and I owe you an apology. That was very short. Feel free to call back tomorrow another time. We'll try and do it all over again because it's that time of the night. You can hear the music playing already. These two have got one to get on the teaser, looking for the 10 loan signings made for Celtic by Ronnie Dyla and Brendan Rodgers. Tim and Key, some of the other guys on Twitter have got it.
Give us a clue.
One to get.
Give us a clue.
Well, it was a Ronnie Dyla loan signing.
I told you that.
He didn't do too much. He's one of these ones who, a bit like Ibuwe Kouassi, there was a bit of a debate about what was his first name and what was his second name.
Oh, I know who.
That's the best clue I can give you, I think.
The boy that came for his club was Ruben Kassan, wasn't it? I can't remember his name.
Well, we're really running out of time, so you better think of his name.
Don't know.
Sort of midfielder, played wide at times.
Oh, I can't remember his
Ghanaian.
Name.
Ghanaian.
No, I don't know his name.
Ghanaian.
From Ghana.
Where does it start with?
Cheers.
It depends what way. It's either WM or MW. As I said, bit of a debate about
Wicastle.
Which way. He's done it right when he does it. Wicastle Mubarak. Wicastle. Well done. Well done to Gordon Dale. Thanks to Gordon Dale and Mark Wilson for joining me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's show. And a big thanks as always to you for listening at home. Hugh Keevans and DJ here from 6 tomorrow.